Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. Hello and welcome to our show, Lady Carolyn. And tonight our topic is empathy. Much needed to operate in love. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayer. We can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen. Dear Heavenly, thank you so much for allowing us this time. God, we want to thank you that you allow us to be a minister, a vessel to be used by you. And we ask right now that you will use us to the fullest capacity, God, that we may be able to help somebody with the word from you. God, we pray that this word will not fall void. And we thank you so much for being the one and only one that we know that we can depend on. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, tonight, amen. Tonight, again, our topic is empathy, much needed to operate in love. And tonight we have a special guest to join us in our discussion. And it's going to be Miss Alicia Williams. And we're going to be discussing how learning how to operate in love using empathy. The spiritual principle of empathy is what can help us to stay on the path of love and understanding when it comes to having positive relationships with others. We will learn that understanding what empathy is and how to apply it to our relationships will enable us to stop criticizing and holding judgment sessions on others. Empathy is best applied with truth and comes with an inventory of self. In order to operate in love, we must apply this principle that will allow us to become helpful in our relationship instead of feeling self-righteous in them. And tonight we're coming out of 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to do the King James Version and also the Message Bible Version of this scripture. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians 10:13. The King James Version says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to hear it." And that same scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13, out of the mess or temptation that comes your way, is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. And that's the word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And hello, Alicia. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay tonight. It's great to have you as a guest. If you want to just tell a little bit about yourself before we get started on this empathy, you may.
Okay, well, I'm Alicia Williams, and I am a wife, mother, life coach, and soon-to-be author. I am actually working on my first book right now that I'm excited about, which should be available sometime next month. I'm still working out some of the details and finishing up some things with it, so I'm excited about that, and I'm excited to be on the show.
Amen, amen, amen. And we're excited to have you. And tonight we're talking about empathy. And the dictionary says that empathy is the identification with and understanding of another situation, feelings, and motive. And empathy is also the ability to put oneself in the other fellow's place.
Mm-hmm.
And this topic right here is definitely one I can definitely relate to. Learning how to become more empathetic with people and learning how to practice empathy in my life. I know that being able to understand, you know, like I think me and you had discussed it before, you know, about understanding another person's process, you know, that
yeah.
We're not the only one. And when we start being able to just look at the fact that we've done some stuff in our lives, you know, we
absolutely
always saved, you know, we weren't always heaven bound, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we see other people going through whatever circumstance or situation they're going through, you know, empathy is what helps us to recall those things that about ourselves, you know, to keep judging others harshly. Amen?
Yes. We oftentimes it's really easy to see what's going on with another person and see that we don't like it or we don't agree with it or whatever the case is. But like you said in the definition, that empathy means that basically, in a nutshell, that we can put ourselves in their shoes. And so once we're able to do that, then we can, like you said, we can just really see that, you know, everybody's dealing with something. And we know better than them. If we would do some introspection and look at our own selves, then we probably wouldn't be so quick to not empathize with people and be more judgmental toward them.
Amen. Because it behooves us to understand that if God looked at everything that we did and held that on our head all the time, where would we be? If it wasn't for him, where would we be? So great, it helps us to have that compassion for each other, you know. The scripture talks about rendering that compassion, you know, and being able to know that, you know, everybody's going to suffer through something. And we need to be more empathetic and sympathetic to other people, because we never know. Just like, you know, I used to get so upset when people used to throw my change on the counter when I handed it to them. And empathy has taught me to understand that I don't know what that person went through that day. You know, I don't know what they had to deal with. You know, I don't know what their last customer was like or whatever. You know, and it behooved me to just pick up my change and don't try to gather any other information except the lady put my change on the counter. You know, because when we have stuff going on, you know, we see something going on, we'll start making up stories about it. You know, she done put my change on my counter because she's trying to hate on me, or, you know, something must be wrong with her. We don't know. We have no clue, you know, what it is. And it just helps us to be able to keep it moving when we just able to say, okay, let me go ahead on and just do what I need to do. You know, that wasn't that big.
And that's why we have to. Go ahead.
No, ma'am. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say we have to be able to apply the scripture in our life that says that we love our neighbor as ourselves, because when we look at people's situations, then we'll be able to say, okay, if I were in this situation, I would want people to empathize with me. I would want people to try to understand where I'm coming from and understand that, you know, I'm not a bad person, or, you know, just whatever the case is. But we don't often do that. We just often look at whatever's going on and we formulate a judgment instead of saying, if I'm going to love people like I love myself, then how would I want them to treat me in this situation?
Amen, amen. That's the word, because a lot of times we look past the part about as we treat ourselves. You know, if I'm being good to myself, then it should help me to be able to be good to other people. If I care more about me, it'll help me to be better to other people. But a lot of times, because we walk around angry, walk around disappointed, walk around hurt, we're not being good to ourselves. And I think that's why we become so easily receptible to people's stuff, you know, because I found out a long time ago, you know, happy people don't bother people. When you're feeling pretty good and you spiritually thin, you know, and you maintaining your relationship with God, you just don't have those big problems with people that you have when you're not spiritually thin, you know?
Right.
It's easier to have brotherly love when you got that brotherly connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that is in the scripture when he was talking about, you know, that Paul said, you know, be minded that you treat people the same way as you treat yourself.
Because when we talk about when we look at what we're going through, like I said, we want people to feel the same way towards us as we're supposed to feel toward other people. We want people to look at our situations and be empathetic, but at the same time, it reminds me of the there's a parable in Matthew. I can't think of where it is right now. What the there was a guy, a rich guy, that was forgiven a large debt, but then he refused to forgive a small debt to someone who owed him. And so it's that same way that we recognize that we want people to feel this way about us. We want people to forgive us, to always walk in love no matter what we do or what we've done, but we refuse to show that same grace to other people, because that's really what grace is God's way of empathizing with us. He's gracious to us because he recognizes that they're not perfect yet. They're not going to get it all together. So I'm just going to cover this. I'm going to show them grace in this instance, and expect us to show that same empathy toward other people.
Amen, amen. Because they say grace is a blessing that you don't have to have. You know, and mercy is when you get what you deserve. So you know, being able to speak the same way to other people, because I tell you, God bust me in my head one day when I was praying about my son, and my son, he was taking me down through there, you know, and I was so angry with him, and I just wanted to just hurt that child. And God said, well, what were you doing when you were 14? He said, what were you doing? And when he took me back to that, and I was like, oh, my God, you know, and I thought of some of the things that I was doing when I was 14, you know, because that's the age he was down around that time. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, you know, because God didn't fight me, you know, for my behavior, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we take it back and pull up our own inventory, because a lot of the stuff that we see in other people that we want to not empathize with them about is because we do see ourselves, because that's what empathy is about. When you can see yourself in somebody else, and you can see yourself in their shoes, and you can get a better understanding of what they're going through, you know. And you can put yourself in the place of taking a real honest tour of yourself and just pull up that stuff that you've done, that stuff that you've been through, because there's nothing, just like that scripture said, there's no temptation that's not common to man. Every man.
Yes, I found myself, I'm thinking about the example of how different people respond to helping homeless people. It's one of those situations where sometimes you have people that are saying, well, you know, they need to get a job, or they're always asking for money, or this and that and the other, or they got themselves into that situation. But I've had to tell people that, you know, sometimes we're always one decision away, or somebody in our life, our manager, supervisor, whoever, is one decision away from us being in that same predicament. And so I can have the ability to empathize with them because of the fact that if I were in their shoes, I would want somebody to help me. Now, granted, some of them, you know, we know that they'll tell you they need some money to get a beer or whatever the case is. But when I feel led, you know, I'll give them what I can, because of the fact that I know that if I were in their shoes and there was somebody who had the ability to but didn't, I would feel, you know, I would feel bad. So, you know, it's just a way that it definitely helps us to walk in love when we first are able to just stop and say, I'm not going to pass judgment first. I'm going to try to understand, like, you know, I've heard people say, I'm not sure if it's scripture or not, so I'm not going to say scripture, but it's to seek first to be to understand, then to be understood. And so when you are dealing with people, you always want to try to understand where they're coming from first. And then once you have that understanding, which is empathy, being able to see yourself in their shoes, then you'll be able to react in love.
Amen, amen. And that is scripture. It is better to be understanding than it is to be understood. And you know, when you was talking about that, you know, that kind of reminded me that, you know, a lot of times people don't even realize that it's still the same things when we look at stuff, but we just look at it so differently when we see it outwardly But if we would really look in, because it's a lot of people that been homeless and don't even realize they've been homeless. But if you ever had to live with somebody else, if you never had a key, if you don't, you didn't have a key to your own place, you homeless. You homeless.
Right.
You know, if your names are not on the fields, you homeless. You know,
that's right.
And we all need that helping hand at some given point in life, at some given point in time. You know, then we have to realize, you know, I've been homeless. I've lived with friends. You know, I've had to have that helping hand, those resources. You know, and I've had people to look at me the same way. You know, and they it's just that, like you said, people don't understand unless it's them. But they got to come out of denial. They got to be honest with themselves. You know, they could pull up the empathy that, hey, that's similar to my story. My story just didn't get that bad. You know, I didn't have to sleep up under the bridge. I didn't have to sleep, you know, out in the street. But for the grace of God.
Amen.
But being able to have a roof over your head somewhere and don't make it yours, that's homeless.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that's what empathy does. It helps us to look a little deeper within, you know, because a sin is a sin is a sin. And a lot of times we want to take a sin and compare it with another sin. You know, take a situation or circumstance and compare it. But we don't have to compare it. All we need to do is identify that it's the same. It is the same because it brings about the same things. It brings about the same feelings. You know, bring about the same needs. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Yeah, I know that empathy is, you know, like I have been saying in the commentary, you know, you have to apply with the truth. You have to be able to tell the truth to be able to have empathy. You know, like for me and my husband was going through, you know, a lot of times the things that I wanted to be really, really upset with him about, I could look at me doing the same thing, you know, with my friends and stuff that I wanted to be upset with them about. I've done the same thing, you know, and a lot of times and we got a little saying in one of the fellowships that I go to, you know, if you can spot it, you got it. And it's that identification that lets you know you've been there. That's a part of your own dirt. That's how you can recognize it, because it's a part of your own dirt, you know. And because we've been delivered from stuff doesn't mean that we should be unempathetic with other people because they have it. You know, that's when we become more of a helper to them instead of being so judgmental.
Right. I remember I was thinking about that also in my dealings with people, how one of the things that I would always thought in people was selfishness. I would always say, this person is so selfish, and, you know, I did this or that, and they didn't appreciate it, and they're selfish. But then God had to show me that the very fact that I'm so upset about it kind of shows that I'm selfish also, because it's just like, well, you know, you're more worried about how you feel coming out of a situation than the fact that, you know, you can just show love and move on, because unconditional love, I've heard the highest expression of love is to give without expecting. And that is a difficult thing for some people to do. And people really can't see that that is a form of selfishness, to give and expect something. And so it's just that I remember I was just thinking like, oh, this person's so selfish, that person's so selfish or whatever. And when God showed me that, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I need to let you deal with my own selfishness also.
Amen. I can relate to that too, because I used to think that I wasn't that selfish, you know, and God was showing me, you know, look at your motives, you know, look at your fantasies, you know, look at your expectations. Because when we go off into that selfish mode and we think about doing something for somebody, we okay with it. We feel real good about that until we need that person to do something for us and they don't or they can't. Or they won't, you know. Then we start being able to identify that we wanted that person to treat us like they treated us. I mean, like we treated them. You know, that's when selfishness just showed up and let you know, no, you're not well. You are not well. You're not. you're a forgiver. You did have some motives, you know, because a lot of people set people up, you know, and do things for you in the expectation that you have debt with them, you know.
Right.
And they'll hold you accountable to that debt. And then that's how come a lot of people lose friendship a lot of time, because we don't even know we're in your debt. You know, we think that,
right,
you know, you did out the kindness of your heart. But when we not at your beck and call, find out that, hey, you know, we did owe you, and now that we can't repay you, we no longer friends, you know.
Right.
Or we cut off, or we character assassinated. And it's a shame, because we don't have that, you know. You can even pull up empathy in a situation like that, because you have to look at, you can't always be available to people when people need you to be available to them. So why would you expect someone to always be available to you when you need them?
Right, because you don't want a person to put that kind of burden on you, so you shouldn't put it on other people also. That's one
right.
of the things that I have hated in the past is, you know, I have live with people, relatives, or whatever, and one of the things that I've always hated is when a person makes you feel like you owe them, and I had come to the conclusion I'd rather sleep in my car than live with some people, because it's just like, if you're going to help me, then help me. You know, if you're going to empathize with my situation and say, okay, if the situation were reversed, I would want her to do this or that or other, then do that. But I'm going to be forever in your debt, then please just don't do it. So, you know, that's one of those things I definitely understand.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, we never find out that they like that until we get into those situations and circumstances, though. You know, we go in thinking that it's going to be different. You know, and sometimes even feeling like it's going to be different, because I know, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday, you know, when I was doing some prayer and meditation yesterday, and God was telling me that, you know, people don't mind your company, but 3 days is more than enough company with anybody.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's around about that third day that people like, man, it's time for you to go. And they don't even know how to tell you that it's time to go, so they just start making you uncomfortable so that you will leave.
People just have to know. They have to know themselves, though, because knowing myself, I know I always say, you know, if I really had a lot of money, I would rather pay somebody's rent than have to move in. So it's just like, you know, I don't mind helping you, but it's something about, you know, my little space here. So it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you're not really walking in love if you do something just because you want to be able to hold it over a person's head or be mean to them while they're there or whatever the case is. I'm like, since I don't have money, I will let somebody, you know, come and stay if they needed to or whatever, but I would rather pay somebody's rent. So you just have to know yourself and don't put yourself in a situation like that if you know that you're not going to be walking in love, you're just going to be being mean to people.
Mhm. Yeah. And being selfish, you know, because we can't always say that we're gonna do something for somebody if we not getting anything out of it, or we think we're gonna lose something because of it, you know. That's selfish too. But mhm. Yeah. And what you mean, though? I mean, I was just like, wow, God, thank you for telling me that, because I don't like to be around people too long anyway, you know. I mean, I feel like it's an inconvenience, you know. Like the scripture said, you know, God bless the child that has his own. It's a very humbling experience when you don't have your own and you do need that help from people, you know. And I'm grateful that there have been people, you know, that God sent, you know, to help during those times, because it's a lot of people that feel like they don't have anyone or no place to go or, you know, nobody to care, and it does make a big difference. And most of the time, you get your most empathetic people from people that have fell on hard times, people that do have empathy because they understand, because they've been there, they've been in a similar situation, they're more helpful than a person that's never went through that circumstance
right.
or that situation, you know. People find it harder to understand, you know, become more judgmental and critical because they haven't had that testimony, you know. And that's very true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been in some predicaments before where when finally God got me to stop focusing on what was going on, I remember thinking in my mind and saying to God, actually, you know, thank you that if I had to go through this to be able to help somebody else, then, you know, then it's worth it in spite of the fact that I don't want to be in the situation. Because sometimes, like you said, people can't empathize because they haven't been through it. And God, because he created us and he knows us, he knows that, you know, that pruning where he had to take you through that in order for you to be able to help other people come out of that, he knew you had to go through it first in order to be able to walk in true unconditional love and be able to be supportive of people in that time instead of, like, turning your nose up or giving them, you know, bad advice just because, you know, you don't understand their situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. That's why when I talk to people, if they don't have any experience in what I'm going through, why they talking, but I'm saying to myself the whole time, I am not going to do this because you don't even know what works, you know, if you have not been there, you know, and a lot of times people won't tell you what thus says the Lord, but it's my experience, God is not going to tell you something that he had not told me, you know.
Right.
He gonna tell me the same thing he told you because he want me to know. And I feel like, you know, if a person is just giving advice, a lot of times you have to be real careful that advice comes without experience because it can be harmful. It can be real harmful to you. I know me and my husband were going through, you know, I had a lot of people telling me, girl, you should go. You should just leave. I wouldn't go through that. And a lot of people telling him the same thing. And these were people that did not have anybody in their life, you know. So that was their experience. They don't have anybody, you know, so that's
right.
what they did, you know. But I'm looking like, no, I don't want to be like you, you know, because when we see the experience, it's got to be a desirable experience. It's got to establish some kind of hope in our lives that this is a good outcome. You know, your experience has given me some hope. If your experience can't give me no hope, then I don't need to be bothered with that, you know.
And marriage has to be, marriage is one of the unions where we practice empathy, I think, more than any other union, more than we do with our kids or with our managers or coworkers or whoever you deal with, church people, because you're always having to, or you should be dying to yourself all the time in your marriage so that, you know, you can be more loving towards the other person. And so part of that is constantly trying to see it from their point of view so that you're not constantly butting heads or whatever. You just want to see it from their point of view. So this is a union where you definitely practice it more than any other one. And so we're actually being perfected through that.
Amen, amen. Well, I definitely want to thank you for joining me today. I've definitely enjoyed ministering with you on this topic, and I hope that you will join me again on another topic sometime. And we're getting ready.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We're getting ready to close out. Would you like to close the prayer?
I sure will.
All right, we've got about 30 seconds.
Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, just thanking you for all that's been said, all that's been deposited, and we just thank you that the words fell on the good grounds of our heart and that we will all be more empathetic and walk in your true unconditional love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, and thank you so much. And
no problem.
Just like I like to always say, no matter what the problem, no matter what the circumstance, just remember the lesson is always love.
Wow.
I'll see you next time, Lisa.